This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. Standing 6'2", 292 pounds. The weight is climbing, but these episodes are airing out of order. So good luck keeping track, shitheads. All you gotta do is trust me, Johnny G from Nassau County, Long Island. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur is a senior dog, so he's currently not in here, but you let him live, won't you? Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios for the first time, I'm a fan of his podcast. Also, he's not a senior dog, he's a talented fucking comedian. From No Gives, we got Bridger Weiniger.
Oh, Gabrus. So nice to see you.
So nice to see you, too. How is that energy for you? Was it off-putting? I was nervous that it'd be off-putting for a gentle soul like yourself.
Well, I feel like you're stealing from my podcast.
Right. To be fair, you call yourself the major fuckboy. So it's like a little, there's a little overlap.
And we're still a little louder over there, but you're getting close.
Yeah, you guys should check out his podcast. Every episode, he flips out when someone gives him a gift and screams his fucking head off. It's wild.
There is bloodshed. There's screaming. There's
tears.
There's nails clawing.
It's everything you want in a podcast.
Yes. Yes.
How have you been? I got COVID over Christmas.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. So, but I'm back. It didn't kick my ass too bad. It did put me down for a couple of weeks, but,
what was the experience like for you?
It was kind of like just a light congestion and like, fatigue and some general achiness. Like 3 years ago, like 2018, I would have just like gone to work and gone to restaurants feeling
just
like
spread
that.
A different sickness.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I'm like a little more aware of like, you know, stay home if you have the, but like when I was 28, I could have like snot pouring out of my nose. I'd be like, I got to do this free improv show in the basement of a bar or else, you know, the show must go on. So it didn't feel that bad, but it was one of those things where, and I don't know how to explain this because I've been so particular about trying not to get it. But upon getting it, I felt like weirdly relieved. Like,
you know, of course.
It was like getting the first scuff on a brand new pair of sneakers. You're like, well, all right, well, now they're just regular. Now I don't have to stress about this anymore. They're sneakers now. I could just wear them in the rain. Like,
so. Yeah, I got, my boyfriend got COVID over Christmas. I had identical symptoms, but tested negative 7 times. So now I'm in this weird spot where I'm like, I wish it could have just been COVID. I don't know what that was. It must have been, right? Like, what other sickness was it?
How many? 7 false negatives, though? Seems a little crazy.
Well, look, I'm a spectacular person.
So. Yeah, you are just, it's a kind of magic, you know? Like, you right. Might just be fighting it in a way that we don't even understand.
But what a ripoff if it wasn't COVID. I had the exact same symptoms.
And you can't like be like out at the restaurant coughing and being like, it's not COVID. Relax, people.
Everyone you can't wear a chill out.
Just a general cold, okay? Relax, everybody. I got it from my wife. We went early in December, we went international travel for our 10-year anniversary. Upon returning, we tested negative. We were like, holy shit, we did a cruise, flights, we made it. And then she goes to like 2 dinners in West Hollywood and comes home and she's like, wakes up on Christmas Eve and she's like, I don't feel that great. And I'm like, I hope it's not COVID. She's like, me neither. And then on Christmas Day, she wakes up and she's like, I can't taste anything. And it's like, oh no, get her a COVID test. She's got it. I'm negative. And I'm like, okay, it's Christmas Day. We live in an 800 square foot apartment. You can't go anywhere for 10 days. I feel like I might get this. And alas, my friend, indeed I did 2 days
later. How much longer did it take for you to get it?
I didn't test myself. I got like symptoms like a day or two later. and then just didn't test myself until like a few days later. Cause I was like, if I have it, I'm not doing anything anyway. So I got a positive and I was like, okay, I'm a positive. And then didn't test again till like January 5th. And I got a negative, January 4th and 5th got a negative both days. And I feel,
and these were at home tests.
These were at home tests, but that was about 13 days after I think I got it. So like, I felt like there was enough of a buffer, but now I feel kind of indestructible.
That's what I'm talking about. What a ripoff for me.
Yeah, I'm going to like underground raves and shit. I'm going no ventilation, I'm in. Let's go, people.
I would be starting a church.
I'm at Hillsong 5 days a week, just going ham with Bieber's preacher. Coughing and sneezing into each other's faces and eyes and shit. We're living the dream over there.
Yeah, I don't know. I am kind of at a point. Well, I'm not being reckless, but I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm probably going to get it anyway. Let's just speed up the process here.
Yeah, it feels, and it's insane. Like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to behave anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to make a handful of people mad no matter what I choose to do with my my life and how I handle COVID. But I was very good and following all the rules for a while and minimally going out and minimally and always masked up. And then when I got it, I was like, all right, well, now I'm going to still wear a mask and shit, but I'm in the movies every week. I'm like not afraid of anything anymore. I'm like, well, now I'm not, if I'm going to get it avoiding everything, then I'm going to get it doing everything by the rules. Like, yeah, I'm going to fuck it. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go, baby. Whoa, I just hit the chair lower button with my leg
you
by accident.
You have absolutely shrunk. You look so tiny right
that
now.
That was terrifying.
I'm towering over you.
Oh, and that was an accident. I truly, that was an accident that happened.
This
I swear
entirely
to God.
Entirely staged.
I know. You know me, I'm definitely a pre-planner, someone who puts in effort and has ambition and drive. If listeners of this podcast know anything about me, I've been bitching about the same shit for 5 years. I've got nothing. But, I mean, the listeners already know this because the title of the episode's in the thing, but we were going to talk height.
We're going to talk about height.
We're going to speak on height. Finally.
It's
a summit
time.
On height. Pun intended. Let's get into it. It's time for two men, neither of any interesting height. like it's not, I'm, it's not like you're 4'8 and I'm 6'11. Like, we're just like.
Well, I feel like you're, well, yeah, 6'2 is like kind of just a normal man height.
Yeah. I feel like 5'10 and 5'11 is the normal man height, and 6'2 is not tall, but you're just like, oh, that guy is
just,
no one calls me
above.
Tall. Yeah. And it might be because I'm the first signifier you see when you look at me is like fat or thick or big.
Well,
tall,
you're just a large person.
Yeah, I'm a large person. Also, we've been mostly talking to each other over Zoom, so it feels even crazier than it's like.
Right. We have no, truly, I could be 7 feet tall. And you're like 3 feet. Now we're just acting like we really know about each other's physical stature, which is fine.
I'm like, I don't even think I've seen you in person, and now we're sitting here like.
Actually, we have briefly met. You probably don't remember this, but
I probably do.
At Scotty Landis's Halloween party in a few years ago, we met.
Hell yeah.
But you would not. I was dressed as Mary Berry from British Bake Off.
Okay.
I feel like you were in a toga or something.
I feel like 1 year I was my wife, and our two friends, gay couple, were Goldilocks and the Three Bears, but we dressed like WeHo Bears.
Oh,
so,
perfect.
Yeah. So that might have been the 1 year, but I've been there. Usually nearly blacked out at Scotty Landis's Halloween party.
Yeah, so. you were stone cold sober when we spoke, and we had a nice, thoughtful conversation. So,
I mean, I've had your business card in my wallet for years, and I just didn't know what it was from. But I'm so sorry. It must have been from this. I knew you when I got the email asked to do. I said no gifts. I was like, I know this dude from somewhere, and you know, circles, paths,
right. Comedy swamp.
The comedy swamp. The bog. Bog boys. how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
Five, six.
I'm short.
You're short, yeah.
I'm not a tall man by any means.
No.
I mean, if I were 1 inch shorter, I would be, it would be like, it would, I would stand out in a strange way. I feel like 5'6" is maybe LA medium.
Right, right, right.
That, or LA average. Not average, but...
It's not, yeah, it's not like, visibly short. Like, if you're walking alone, like, people wouldn't eyeball and be like, this guy is short. But if you're standing next to someone who's 5'10", be like, oh, he is shorter than that person.
Right, yeah. Right. I'm not, like, phone book in the car short, but I'm, like, in Utah or whatever, I'm very small.
Okay, is that where you're from?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to guess that based on your complexion, but I didn't want to I didn't want to profile. But I think white people are allowed to profile each other. I'm not sure.
I think that's fair.
Don't use me. Don't quote me on this, listeners. Don't try to be like, oh, I heard you're allowed. Was your height a thing for you ever? Like, is it something? I mean, it was one of the ideas you threw out for a topic. So I'm curious, is it something that's affected you, that's been on your mind? I know stereotypically in the dating scene, in the heterosexual dating scene, women are like, I'm on a tall guy, but how is it in the gay dating scene?
So interesting, because my height, I mean, it was such a huge thing growing up, because, you know, and I think that's just among kids. It's like, if you're small, it's strange. And if you like playing basketball or whatever, it's, or like riding the rides, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But until I came out, I felt short, and now I feel fine about it.
Interesting.
So I feel like I shed whatever element of trying to be straight that I had, and I was like, oh, now, oh, it truly doesn't matter. Right. But there, like, as a kid, it's like, can you, like, dumb kid shit, like jumping up and touching the top of a door frame, that kind
I
of
know.
Thing, or being able to dunk a ball. It's like, huge concern for me. And now I love being small.
Yeah, I felt my version of that was being like a chubby kid, like always, like, you know, running up the stairs, playing with, you know, like doing all the same shit. And now I love that I'm a big fucking freak. Like, I've come to terms with that when, for a while now, but it was hard for me. I got a growth spurt my freshman year of college. I went from like 5'11 to 6'1, 6'2. And that was
in what time span?
In like over like the course of my senior year of high school through my freshman year of college, like that 2 years, that 18 months or something like that, I grew, because my dad was 6'5" and my mom is like 5'4". But my dad was like, I got my growth spurt when I was 18, not when he was a senior in high school, because he dropped out, but he's like, when I was 18, and I was like, oh, I hope I get a growth. And I'm 5'11 at the time, 5'10 in school, and I'm like, please let me get a growth spurt. Like, there's like, you're not an unusual height until you're like 6'4 or 6'5 as a man, I feel like.
Right.
Like, once you're like getting to that height, then you're starting to be like, is this weird? Am I too tall to be a comedian? You know, like, you start to get...
You don't know a lot of super tall comedians.
No, no. Because they, you know, they didn't have anything to overcome as a child.
Right, right.
They didn't have to wield comedy to defend themselves for a decade.
You were, 5'11 to 6'2 in like a year and a half?
Yeah.
Was that painful?
It was. I had like I have this knee condition called Osgood Schlatter from like growing too fast, what, like something like that. And then also I, in that time period, like got a job as a beach lifeguard and like trained for it and got like lost like 25 pounds of like chubby kid fat too. So I went away to like freshman year of college, like absolutely a different person than I was my senior year of high school. It was like, I was just like, I'm 6'1 and tan and like have a six pack. And like just a year ago, I was like, had B cups and could not like jog.
Oh my God, the dream transformation.
Yeah. And then I just slowly undid that over the course of the next 20 years. I think I put on 10 pounds a year until I was like 31, like from like freshman year of college.
Good for you. I like, as far as height, I have no recollection of ever growing. Like, I feel like I was always just short, and like, I would love to have some history to look back and be like, how tall was I in 10th grade? I must have been like 5 feet tall. I don't know. But I don't remember any growth spurt or anything.
Yeah,
it was
do
just
you
like,
remember when you like oh, I guess this is the tallest I'm going to be? Like, did that?
No, I mean, I still to this day, I'm like, maybe it's still around the corner.
Okay.
Mid-30s, you know, medical science surprises us. Maybe something will happen and I will like turn 40 and suddenly I'm 6 feet tall.
Yeah, there's like creams you can rub on your shins to extend it or some shit. Like honestly, like the way like you... biotin helps you allegedly grow your hair, and if you're like get a bad haircut you take biotin. Like, is there something that like if you megadose this you could get in like short people everywhere, or like, oh man, I have mercury poisoning from trying to eat tuna to grow height or whatever.
I bought this jar out of a man out of a wagon. I'm sick.
If there was a supplement that made you grow, I feel like Joe Rogan would be selling it. So
1,000%. Yeah. So well, he would have died of taking
from it.
Like, yeah. We would hear him die on air from trying
yeah,
to...
Yeah, he would have to be buried in an 11-foot-long coffin because he, like, overdosed on the height stuff, and he's just, like, super long, like, weird tapeworm size.
How tall is he again? I think it's always worth bringing up.
I bet you he's, like, 5'8". I bet you he's,
5'8".
Like,
okay, yeah, so he's only two inches taller than me, and I'm short.
Yeah, and I'm only guessing that he's taller than you because he's Joe Rogan, and I'm just very curious.
Because he's got $90 million.
right. He stands on... according to this, he is 5'8", according to the internet, which is...
Okay, he's paid for that.
Yeah, well, if a man's height is out there as 5'8", it means he's 5'7".
Right.
For
right.
sure.
Absolutely.
Like, it's all like high school football. We had a football... like when we played in the big games in high school, they would like make a little program for you. And it's like John Gabrus, number 78, defensive tackle or whatever. And the amount of kids in my high school who were 6 foot 225 or 6'2", 250, because you got to like, you just like told the coach what you were, and everyone, like, you thought the other team might read it. So everyone just like, and it was just like, how many kids have the builds of NFL linebackers? None of us do. And it's so obviously a lie. And everyone's just
like
adding.
Grindr profile.
Yeah, yeah.
The gayest thing I've ever heard.
Dude, I just had a conversation about the Guido culture being weirdly so close, despite it being sort of Long Island Guido culture, which I was raised up amongst, despite being sort of homophobic, is also weirdly very parallel. Like,
oh yeah,
it's very gym, tanning, looking good, getting your hair done. These are like first guys I knew to get manis and pedis. Like, we're straight Guidos, and I was just like, this is fucking crazy. And they were the most like, yo, no homo, bro, shit of my whole entire life. And it's like, in hindsight, I was like, guys, a little homo. Like, I can admit to that. What we were doing was we were obsessed with the male form. It happened to be our own. Yes. But like, at some point, it gets to be a little gay. If you're reading 5 different muscle magazines a month, like, you're starting to have some habits in common with. Like,
oh, my God. Well, I mean, look at the date. What is it? The David? Is it Michelangelo who carved David?
Yes.
I mean, the Italians, I mean, they invented gayness.
Right.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. David, a little more bashful. Perfect. You are the guy who can kill Goliath now. Peck her out, please. Like, wait, what? Do you want me to hold a sling or something, like from the story? No. Hands behind your back. Dick out, please. Okay, Michelangelo. Whatever you say, you're the party dude. Oh, Athletic Greens, again. Thank you so much for continuing to sponsor the pod. Big fan of your product. Here's one thing. If we could have a little dig against it, I would recommend not spilling a bunch on your kitchen floor. Actually, to be honest, it was really easy to vacuum up, but my morning started with me accidentally dropping my little bag of Athletic Greens and spraying greens all over my floor and my bare chest and my new tattoo. That's okay, because I was able to vacuum it up quickly, make myself a pint glass full of Athletic Greens, and smash it down first thing in the morning. So that it helps my digestion energy. It's simple for me. I never minded the taste has always been good, but now I like it. Now it makes me feel like it's like that. And then a coffee is how I start my day every day. And it's keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. It's lifestyle-friendly. Less than 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial anything. It's just a bunch of important stuff for your body. 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens in a simple powder. One scoop, some water, smash it down. It's a micro habit with big benefits. It costs less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. That's why I make my cold brew at home, and that's why I use my own promo code, because right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/mighty. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/mighty to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Sick. Plant People, the world's first mushroom gummy. So popular, it's sold out twice, and now it's finally back in stock. You know I love my Wonder Day gummies. 10 research-backed mushrooms that have been used for centuries to help people achieve homeostasis or mind-body balance. It's boost your mood with lion's mane and shaga. You can reduce stress with shaga and reishi. Increase your energy levels with cordyceps and maitake. Improve focus with lion's mane and cordyceps. Nourish your gut microbiota with turkey tail and reishi. 100% vegan, USA cultivated functional mushrooms. All of Plant People's products are third-party lab tested for purity, DNA verification, all that. Happiness, 100% carotene. Love them or get your money back. And then here's the highlight. It makes I feel more consistently balanced over time. I have been sleeping better. I'm not, you know, it's hard to pinpoint which exactly is causing that for myself, but I'm going to keep it a part of my daily regimen, 2 a day. And the reason why, it's very easy for me to have 2 of these gummies a day because they taste kind of like Swedish fish, and that makes them delicious. I want more. So go to try.plantpeople.co/mighty to get 15% off your first order with code MIGHTY. That's try.plantpeople.co/MIGHTY. Love feeling wonderful or your money back. Also, always, all the ads are in the show notes. Click and go nuts.
Did you ever feel short as a kid? Was there any point when you felt small?
I would feel, I ran. How old am I? I hung out with older kids.
With a tough crew.
Yeah. I ran with a crew. I did run with like a dirtbag older kid crew when I was like a freshman. I hung out with like juniors and seniors, and I was big enough to be like around their size. I was always like, I was never super tall, but I was never small. And because I also was like a thick boy from the jump off, I was never considered small. And, you know, I was getting called big man by bouncers with my fake ID and shit, which is like anyone over 250 pounds is just called big man for life by bouncers.
Right.
And they're
well,
the only
so
people
is
I'm
anybody
to
under
do
5'7".
Right, right. Big it's sort guy. Of like we're the two. Hey, what's up, big guy? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's me and you walking into a bar together, you on my shoulders. Sitting on my shoulders. What's up, big guys? Yeah.
In my like mid-20s, I was at an ice cream place with some friends, and the waiter, like I ordered a milkshake, and it was one of those ones where they like pour it into the cup for you in front of you or whatever.
Yeah, and they leave the remnants thing. In like the big metal.
Yes.
Yeah, I love
the
that
waiter
shit.
Who was probably 19 said he did it for me and said, "Here you go, big guy." Like I was 11 years old and just the most mortifying feeling in the world.
You're like, please let a fucking nuclear strike hit this Friendly's right now. I need to die.
Big guy, not a great thing to hear.
No. That sucks, man. It's so funny. Like, nobody wants to be called a big guy because unless they're a medium person, and then they're right. Like, because you know if you know yourself, if you're in your heart are under-heighted or on the smaller side, when you get called big guy, it's not inflating in any way. And when you're actually a big guy, it's like, I know, shut up. I just like sweating putting these fucking jeans on. I know I'm a big guy. Relax.
Right. Maybe just don't call somebody by their physical characteristic.
Yeah. What's just up, common brunette? Decency. Yeah.
Brunette.
Just nothing. What's up, you beard guy? Okay. Just say hello. Like, no big deal. Like, that's me, because I try to be, I like forget people's names pretty frequently, but I'm good with faces. And so I'm always saying, like, my man, or what's up, handsome, or like, there she is, like, just stuff like that. Like, and I'm telling on myself right now to anyone. Like, I just constantly do stuff like that.
Oh, I've gotten so bad with names. I think also pandemic, like, not seeing people as often has, I ran into somebody recently. I was trying to refer to a mutual friend who we, like, as a dear friend, could not remember her name. Just,
oh, man.
Horrifying. I don't know if there's any solution to that at this point.
No, I don't know. And here's my solution. Whenever I even see someone, so, for example, I'm going to use you as an example. We run into each other in 6 months at a party. I will go up to you and go, hey, Bridger, right? Yeah, it's John Gabris. And you'll go, I know. And I go, I know, you know, but I'm just making sure, like, I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to make you feel bad. Like, and if I don't know the person's name, I go, hey, John Gabris, good to see you again. They're like, I know who you are. I'm like, yeah, but you could just say your name right now and we can get over it. Like,
that's great. Oh, that's very smart. And yeah, then, it's just about tricking people.
Yeah, and like I say, and they go, I go, I'm sorry, I'm so bad with names. I assume everyone else is, and I will just introduce myself and prevent anyone from, like, we could just eliminate that. And part of, here we go, public PSA. Part of eliminating that is, don't ever say to someone, what's my name? Don't ever.
Awful.
That creates two unhappy people, guaranteed. Like, if they do know your name, it's not a big victory for you, and it stressed them out. If they don't know your name, it's humiliating for both parties. Just leave
also,
that.
It just confirms to that person why they don't know your name in the first place. It's because you're a terrible human being.
Yeah, because there's no point in remembering this asshole. Yeah, right.
Because you behave like a dick.
I hate you. It's because I hate you. You say to someone face to face, yeah, okay, I didn't remember your name. And you want to know why? It's because I fucking hate you. All right, well, any new auditions? Like,
I would love to get to a point where I'm just telling people to their face that I hate them.
Oh,
yeah. Just beautiful honesty. I think that would be very beneficial.
We're only a few years away from, like, pure, dripping, unfortunate honesty. Like, we're ready to fuck. Because it's like, eventually, like, we're going to swing back the other way from all the bullshit of social media, and it's going to be like, when we get together, we're real with each other. Like, we're forced to be true. Like our generation, are going to be like revolting, being like, these kids and their smartphones, we get together and we say, you know what I hate about you?
I'm looking forward to that. I would really appreciate just dropping feigned politeness. And there are a lot of people I don't like.
Yeah. And I understand there's a lot of people who don't like me. They understand there's a lot of people I don't like. I understand that we still have to interact due to the functionings of society and the entertainment industry. Let's just let it happen and no one get bothered on either side. Just fucking ignore each other. Huh. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, just fucking keep it moving.
I'm fully on board with that.
Height sort of stops being a thing, like, once you're no longer, like, doing sports or, like, in high school or college, really. Like, right? Like, height is, like, less of an issue, unless it's internalized in some capacity, like, which right. I know a lot of people deal with that. But, like, no one is, like, it doesn't matter once you're in your 20s, like, how tall you are. It's, like, really, like, and then hearing about short, straight guys on dating sites, like, I do feel like that's a backlash to a thing that is not as much of a thing anymore as either.
I can't imagine that's really a thing, right? I mean, that much of it, I don't know. It's hard for me to speak to it.
Right. It's hard for both of us to speak to the straight dating scene for two totally different reasons. I've never even been on a date. I've been with my wife since 2003, so I don't even
know. Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we started dating in college. Before you would go on a date with someone, you would just, like, hook up and then say, do you want to be my girlfriend? And that's right. What I did 19 years ago.
And she met you at full height.
She met me at full height, and I think that was part of the. And
right.
And she's not. And she's not gonna like me sharing this, but her boyfriend before me was very short.
He was a squirt.
Yeah, great guy, jacked, tattoos, lead singer of a band, but
what?
Very interesting guy, but she swung the pendulum in the other direction and went with a fat, crazy comedian, so alcoholic.
He made
comedian.
The right move.
Yeah, we all. I definitely benefited from that. I'm assuming she, you know, she's along for quite the ride at this point, so she better be game.
How tall is your wife?
She's like 5'4", 5'5".
5'4". Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And for women, that's like average.
I think so. Yeah, I believe okay. so. But see, that's what I do think also the women wanting tall guys, again, just guess, you know, all hypothesis. Like that, I like mocked Joe Rogan earlier, and now I'm fully in his, like, I'm fully just going, here's my theories about dating. Fully uninformed. What? Can we pull that up on YouTube? But I do think part of it is like that's an old attitude too of like women wanting like the protector type or the like the large, like that's not a totally. Thing anymore. Women are alphas as well. Like women are in charge of their life. Like, and I for one am very attracted to women who are taller than me. It's, you know, not as frequent of an occurrence, but I'm very sure. into it. My friends who are of height, the women are beautiful. Shout out Michelle Collins, good friend of the show, guest of the show. I just throw up in the middle of that. I feel like women are okay with a guy being, like, most women I know are okay with a guy being shorter than them now. Like, look, they gotta be. It's 20 fucking 20.
I'm happy to speak for every single woman on the planet right now.
Thank you.
They're fine with short men.
Yeah.
I mean, and also I don't blame a woman if they want, if, you know, if you want a taller person in the relationship to reach something.
Right.
I mean, that's the only reason, the only effect that being short has on me at this point is not being able to reach the top cabinet. But that's why I bought a kitchen stool.
Yeah, we have a kitchen stool as well for my wife. I don't need it, but I need her to get stuff off the bottom shelf because we have such a small apartment that if I try to crouch down, I bulk up and I like don't fit in between the cabinets. So if something's like low and in there, I have to send her. And if it's, you know, above
this 6 feet, my relationship. My boyfriend's 6'2". I get the things down low. And he can and when he's not around, I've got the kitchen stool, which is so empowering.
I was just about to ask how tall your boyfriend was, and that is very interesting. He's my height of above average height.
He's a 6'2" man, so I think we have like the floor to ceiling covered basically as far as reaching.
Yeah. You're scurrying around on the lower levels. He's up in the rafters. You guys together can Pippi Longstocking your house in no time. You're on the ground with like brushes on your knees and hands, scurrying around. He's got him on his hands, scrubbing the ceiling.
He's getting the cobwebs, etc. Of course, that's the exact picture.
Cobwebs, etc. Now, do you find yourself in any situations where your height is like an advantage? Like what?
Oh my God, on a plane? I feel so spoiled as far as, I mean, like it's fine, but for somebody over, literally if you're over 5'6" on a plane, hell, it must be. It's not even that great for me.
No, it's not comfortable for like children on a plane. Like, so it's like, for me, it's unfortunate. Like, thank God, God bless, working for TV shows that send you first class, because then you get a taste of it and you're like, this
is spoils you.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I could actually fit in this chair. So, sometimes I have to like jam myself into the fucking chair, and then on the plane, I'm a heavy set guy, but I also am like broad shouldered and like long limbed. So when I'm sitting in the I sit in the aisle to have room, but when I'm sitting in the aisle, I'm just taking fucking hips and bar carts to the fucking shoulder over. People just awful. Like, brrr, and I'm like, I know I'm in the aisle here. Okay. Like, I understand, but I don't have a physical choice. Can you just slow down when you ding me in my fucking humerus with the fucking bag of Bloody Mary bottles? Jesus.
It's not the airline industry. I mean, I think it just needs to be shut down for like 5 years and let it catch up. It's yes. insane to me. It's such garbage.
It's so crazy the way the hoops you have to jump through and the way you're treated to go on a plane and it costs you $1,000. Like the fact that it also costs you a fortune, it's like, wait, I'm berated from the fucking moment I am attacked by traffic getting in and out of your poorly designed airport, no matter which one it is a clusterfuck of cars. And
I will stand up for Burbank.
Okay, fair enough. I live close to closer to LAX, so I rarely fly out of Burbank. You're treated like absolute shit. Like, oh, get in that long line. Oh, your bag. You have too much stuff, you fucking pig. Give me $50. And you're like, here, sorry. And then it's like, ugh, here you go. Hey, you're only allowed to bring one of these things on with you, okay, you asshole? Okay, sorry. And then you go up to security, and they're like, shoes off, fuck you. And they're just, like, ranting. And you're just like, what the fuck? And I have, like, noise-canceling headphones on, and someone's like, put your thing on the thing, and then your thing. And it's like, is this helping anyone, you fucking assholes? And at that moment is when I'm always like, I paid $900 for this flight.
I could have bought 80 bus passes.
I know.
And it would have been comparable.
I made $900 for this, and this is how you talk to me? If I spend $200 in a hotel, they'll bring you up a single mint. You know what I mean? Like, it's infuriating. And then you get on the plane and they're like, all we have are pretzels that we put on the floor and you got to eat them with your, it's like, what? And it's like, yeah. And everything is like, yeah, because of COVID, everything is worse and costs the same. And you're like, okay, wait, what?
We have hot water and soup crackers. What was your flying situation on your recent trip? Because it was a long flight.
It was a 8-hour flight. Luckily, my wife and I do the gamble where we take the aisle and the window seat and pray that no one would buy a middle.
So smart.
And worst case scenario, like when we're doing like a smaller domestic flight, worst case scenario, if someone does book the middle, they're always game to take the window, and me and my wife, you know, so right. We can sit next to each other. On the way down, we had nobody in the middle, and it was like, oh, hell yeah. Oh. It was a dream. Still not comfortable. It was still a small plane, and my father-in-law is like fucking reclined right up to my nose. I'm like, oh, I hope you're comfortable.
Well, actually, let me ask you about that. I'm curious. What's your feeling on reclining on planes? Do you support it?
I don't fully. It never works out the way. It's too fucked up to have that power.
Well, everyone on the plane has that power. I don't understand the outrage about it. It's like that is an option. The airline has trusted me to recline the seat. Don't get mad at me.
I think the airline could do a little zhuzhing of their reclines, because if you have like a laptop open on your tray and someone reclines, awful. It like doesn't fit. Yeah, you can crack your fucking screen. I've someone reclines, and on certain planes, it's like, well, now I can't even use the little TV thing because it's just like. And then you have to recline too, just to like be able to breathe. Like it's hard. And I already have such little bit of room there. When someone reclines, it really, and I'm claustrophobic, and that activates me in some capacity where I start like bugging out.
But are you reclining?
If not always, because okay. I try to glance behind me. If it looks like the person behind me is like asleep and lean back, I'll go back a little bit, but like, I'm rarely trying to fall asleep on a plane. Like if it's a red eye, I'll recline, but I don't need to be reclined. I'm uncomfortable reclined. I'm uncomfortable sitting up. Like it's like six of one, half a dozen of the other.
That's true. Neither option is ideal.
Yeah. It's not like reclining. You're like, oh, now I can relax.
Finally.
My knee is still pressed into this sharp ass magazine pouch. And then on the flight home, me and my wife took the aisle and window, and there was a dude who was like, that's me in the middle. And I was like, oh, you're in the middle? Okay. And I got up. He's like, unless you want to sit next to your wife. And me and my wife looked at each other. We were like, no, she can only really sleep by the aisle. And this was like an overnight by the window. And this was an overnight flight. And I'm like, I'm not sitting in the middle for 8 hours, bro. It's you. This dude sat in between me and my wife for like a full 8-hour flight. Didn't look at his phone, didn't read a book. He just like sat there and closed his eyes and didn't move. He peed once. I was like, okay, that's not a bad gig to have some rando in between you.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, as good as it's going to get. I mean, that gamble of like leaving that middle seat open is, you are running the chance of getting a real freak or somebody who's like, is not in control of their life. And the only reason they're at the middle seat is because they didn't plan ahead and they're a mess.
Yeah, it's like a last minute trapped person. That's the person who's late too. Because right, I have a rule when we do that, we do not talk about the possibility of it being empty until they're like, we hear the doors are closed. You know what I mean? We don't flip it up and start putting stuff in the middle until the doors close, because you can jinx yourself so easily with, and you making me realize, and it's because that person who booked that last minute middle seat is usually the one who's like just getting on the plane with like a fucking large hot coffee and a cat or something. Yes. And they're like, I'm in the middle there. And they have like a bunch of newspaper with them. And you're like, oh my God, I got to sit next to the fucking lady from Home Alone 2.
Vomit at the airport bar. Yeah. Just the worst person.
Oh man, it sucks. You can only get four little bottles of Tito's from the lady. It's like, okay. I have been that person also though, because I fly so much for, you know, touring or whatever, but
right
back in the day when I would fly for UCB touring, it was even shit because they're just picking the cheapest flights they can possibly.
I cannot imagine a UCB booked flight.
It was,
what does that look like?
A UCB booked flight and hotel was like the most disparaging. I can't believe I did Torco for like 3 years. It's like the most easy way to be mistreated. It's like, wait, you guys each want your own hotel rooms? It's like, yeah, we're 25-year-old men and women now. Like, we can't stay. No woman should have to stay with like me and the other fat guy who snores on Torco. Like, let them have their own. And I don't want to stay with anyone else too. Like, I want to take a dump in the morning in peace. Whatever.
Of course.
It's such a shitty situation. And then I'm boarding last because I'm in the worst section. And I could see people eyeballing me when there's like two seaters and they're going, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. And then I see visible relief in their body and body language and posture when I pass them and they're like, oh, okay, someone's smiling. And because I'm like a giant man with a beard who's usually got like a baseball hat, noise canceling headphones, sunglasses, like a kid, like I dress like a child. I have a backpack and they're like, oh, I got to sit next to fucking Warren from There's Something About Mary on this entire. And you see like palpable, like, oh, as I pass them. And like, as I got to shout out former guest of the show and friend Drew Tarver. We were going to South by Southwest for tour shit one time, and I had a middle seat in a row and he had the aisle, and he's like, dude, and not even us together, he was like, you can have my aisle seat, I'll jump in the middle.
Oh my,
like,
God, what a sacrifice.
What a sacrifice. Like, truly, I was like, dude, thank you so much. He's like, yeah, I'm smaller than you, it's gonna be okay. It's like,
I mean, Drew is very slender.
He's very slender. I'm very appreciative of that.
He could be in like a broom closet.
Yeah. He asked me to put him in my garment bag.
Just slide me into
the... Just slip in. Hang me up in the... I'll just hang in there like a cocoon.
You can iron me when we get to the hotel.
Oh, man. Planes. Yes. What about... What kind of car do you drive? Does that?
I drive a Hyundai Ioniq, which is kind of like Hyundai's Prius.
Oh, okay.
So it's small.
It's small.
What now, do you drive?
I drive a Volkswagen station wagon. So it's not
okay.
It's not small per se, but it's not particularly big.
It's like a normal person car.
It's a normal Yeah, it's a normal dad car. A lot of 40-year-old men drive a wagon, but most of them have children. I just need the space for my beach chairs to stay in there permanently. Like, my wife and I are so fucking packed into this house, this tiny apartment, that she like stores stuff for work in her car, and I have like the beach chairs, a beach umbrella in my car like year round. It's like, not no choice.
But why not? That's actually not a bad idea. That, I mean, where else are you going to store it? Then you don't have to drag it to the car.
Yeah, I'm not going like grocery shopping like a father of five. Like, I don't need like, oh, I need all the space. I need to lay down the back right, so I can pick up plywood to make a deck or whatever. I'm not like that. I'm a fucking city boy. I don't do any of that shit. So I don't, like, yeah, I could just keep crap in my car. Oh, but I'm saying this. So you didn't feel the need to get a car that made you feel big in any way or like,
oh my,
some kind of,
God, give me a break. That's so embarrassing when you see a small person get out of, I think we need to ban cool cars in general. But like,
I think we should start talking size limit of cars for sure. I think cars are 100%. Getting too fucking big.
Yeah, especially a short person should not be allowed to drive a cool car, as far as I'm concerned. I think we all just need to have. This is why I could never be the ruler of a country, because I would say everyone gets the blandest, most vanilla car. Nobody gets to be cool. So I think you'd get a nice, sensible car.
Government mandated cars. They're all just like blank.
You're lucky if you get to pick the color.
I'm glad to hear you don't drive like a Land Rover Defender or something like that to make yourself.
Let me ask you your thought on the Land Rover Range Rover. That car, nothing sends me into a rage like seeing a Land Rover, Range Rover, G-Wagon. Any of those cars, I'm like,
yeah,
I can't do it.
Yeah, like the new ones that I'm like, I don't think you're taking this off-roading. I know, no. You know, like you're parking at the vegan restaurant in West Hollywood.
Right,
like,
to tweet about climate change.
Right. Dude, these cars are my car was in the shop, my Golf, because the wagon, because it leaked during the rain, which it still smells like mildew in there. I got to get it cleaned.
In 2010, my Honda Fit, another small car, which I highly recommend, leaked. I left it in LA for 2 weeks, went home, came back, stepped into the car at 11:30 at night, heard a splash. There were 4 inches of water in the car.
It had an
absolute meltdown.
And it's crazy because, like, that was the 1 week it rained in LA. Yeah. Like it's like it doesn't even rain here, and now my car is flooded. This is bullshit.
The smell will never go away. It'll smell like a terrarium forever. Just be aware of that.
Yeah, my car already, like, it does. I'm like, I'm going to get it, like, steam cleaned this weekend just to try anything.
Nightmare. Oh. Did you leave a window open or something?
No, apparently, like, a leaky gutter or something like that, they said. It has one of those giant sunroofs that opens, so, like, I feel like it's a little... asking for it a little bit. But there was, like, that little rainstorm in mid-December, and it, like, was, like, 3 days, and that's when I got in my car, and there was, like... condensation on my fucking dashboard and like a bunch of water in the back seat, and it smelled, and I was like, uh-oh. So I took it to the dealership on December 23rd, and then it started 10 days of raining in LA, and thank fucking God I happened to put it in there. But this long fucking perfectly told story is all because I want to get to they're like, here's look, we're going to need to keep your car for a few days. And it was like a couple days before Christmas. They're like, and because of the holidays, we probably won't get it till, you know, end of December. So we need to get you a loaner car. Just hang around here. We'll bring the loaner car around. They bring the loaner car around, and it's a Volkswagen Atlas, which is their.
What is that?
Exactly. What is that is what I said. I'm like, what is the Atlas? And they're like, I'm like, no. When they pull it around, it's their three-row SUV. It's like the biggest car I've ever.
Suburban.
And it's a Suburban. It's the size of a Suburban. And I'm like, I street park my car in West Hollywood. I cannot have this car. And they're like, it's the only one we have. I'm like, miss, this thing is too fucking big. I do not like big cars. I brought a wagon in. You can't leave. And also, it's raining this day, and the dealership is in downtown. And I'm like, I have to get in this car for the first time in the rain and take, like, drive through downtown LA in the biggest fucking car I ever drove. My wife drives an SUV, but not a huge, enormous one, but way bigger than my car. But she was like, you are so whiny. I'm like, she said that I was getting a little too conspiratorial because I was like, these cars are just made to run over protesters is what I kept saying.
I support you in that thought. I believe that.
I was like, I don't want not to go too full lefty trash here, but these cars.
That makes perfect sense.
You don't need a shoulder high hood. Like that's me. That's a hood. The hood of your car would be over your head, Bridget. That makes no sense. If you were standing in front of the car, they could run you over because they did not see you. That's
they were
bad.
Designed to kill Bridgers.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's who's at protests.
Oh, I've never heard of the Volkswagen Atlas. That must be a deeply unpopular car.
I think, it's either deeply unpopular or new, like one of their new. And it's
right.
And that's, if it's new, that makes me upset that car manufacturers think they have to like join the giant car race. It's like, can't everyone just makes the same kinds of cars now? It used to be like, you know, now it's like Honda has this, 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 and this, and then Toyota has a matching version, Volkswagen has a matching version, BMW. Everyone has their matching version. It's like all cars even look the same now, too, like across, like there's so little disparity amongst cars. And so people just keep getting bigger and bigger fucking. I know, like, comedians in LA who are getting pickup trucks. And I'm like, what the fuck do you need this for?
Yeah, Sir Lester.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Sir Lester. Owns a truck. Carl Tart, Drew Tarver.
We are going to name
you're
these
on
truck
blast,
owners.
Bitches.
And every one of you is going to pick up a plant from the Home Depot for me.
Yes,
won't
please. Yeah, you're
going to
help me fucking move. You're going to use this yes. car for fuck's sake.
I will be counting on you in the future for some stupid thing that my car can't hold.
Well, the thing I do forget about some people having pickup trucks is you mentioned you're from Utah. I'm from Long Island, New York. A lot of these guys are from the South that we discussed. And
right,
like that is
right.
like you that's
it's
pickup
truck culture.
Yeah, it's truck culture. So you're like, I called it a pickup car. That's how you know I'm not a truck culture guy.
You've been exposed as not a true truck fan. That's a shame.
Nope. Not a big old trucker over here. I have trucker ass, and that's about it.
Do you have like a dream car? Is there a car that you would love to own?
Yeah, there's a few. Like I would like to have like a vintage Bronco or a vintage SUV, like some of the old body models with an electric engine. And that is
the true dream, to get the car, like an old car like that, and have enough money to turn it into an electric car.
And that seems to be people who are doing that now, and it's like for the ultra rich, obviously, but that's something that's on my mind, is like eventually getting an electric SUV or an electric. I want something that I could foreseeably live in as well, like that. So my next car I'm gonna do is like a Subaru Outback, so I could use it for like camping.
Those are so nice.
And to kind of, if I wanted to sleep in it somewhere, I could. And then
right
Volkswagen's allegedly coming out with an electric bus in a few years, and if that doesn't feel too crazy to drive, yeah, I might rock that. Like that would be kind of cool. But I something in that world. And eventually, even though I street park, so it would be weird to have an electric car, I would never be able to charge it. I would like to have a hybrid or electric vehicle. I would like to have a hybrid ASAP, and then down the road an electric or something. What about you? You have a dream car?
Yeah, my brothers and my dad were so obsessed with car culture and truck culture and all of that, that I kind of rejected it for a long time. I didn't really care. But recently I've become kind of obsessed. I do have one favorite car called the Subaru Brat, which was like late 70s, early 80s. It's like a mini El Camino, basically.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah,
they're
it's cute.
Beautiful cars. And they have little seats in the back. And then their Dodge had a like competing model called the Dodge Rampage. And there's one in Highland Park that is for sale that is haunting me. I'm so tempted, but I feel like it's just going to be a life-ruining decision if I buy it. But
those are weird. Those are weird cars too.
They're
not
very strange looking. They're not traditionally good looking cars.
I think they look great. They just feel like they don't make a lot of sense. It's like, oh, fine. I have a 2-seater car and a half of a flatbed behind me. Like, what am I putting?
A truck that can do nothing. That can carry like a dozen eggs.
Yeah, you can carry a nightstand to the Melrose Trading Post.
It's more for, it feels like this sort of little thing that you just tool around the neighborhood in,
yes,
type of car. And then maybe, like, I guess you could put something in the bed of that truck, but not a lot.
Not much, yeah.
Maybe like a goat, I don't know, some small animals, that kind of thing. But if I ever have the money, I want one of those turned into an electric car.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, my wife and I always talk about having a third car that is like our fun car that we like. This is the car I drive to work in. That's the car you drive to work in. And then we have this, but we live in an apartment with one parking space. So we don't even have.
Just litter your neighborhood with your car.
Yeah. We're just like, oh yeah, we got to hold on. It's street sweeping day. I got to move four cars around West Hollywood. I got to keep roll of quarters on my belt. Like a fuck. I work at Time Out Arcade so I can keep paying all the meters and shit. It's a part-time job maintaining
7 hours every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
I'm sprinting around like a valet jogging across traffic and shit. Reading street signs, like trying to remember. Oh, okay. 2 hours. Okay. Set my timer for an hour, 59 minutes. I'll be right back out.
Did you drive in Long Island?
I did drive on the island, and I had an 89 Buick Century Custom.
Oh, a beautiful car.
Beautiful car. My family was of the... it was a lot of people's families were of the financial level of like, oh, you're 17? Well, then when I need a new car, you can have my old one. It's like, sure. Yes, thank you, Dad. And so like that was the I inherited my dad's car, which I really loved. And it was my first car driving around, loved it. Drove my mom's minivan a bunch because she would let me. And then I, with the money I got from my graduation, I bought a Jeep Cherokee Sport, like the
that's a fancy car.
The boxy one, the one that is just and like no frills, and I fucking loved it. Oh, it was like what year was it? It was like a 99 too. It was like a 98. I owned it in like 03, 04, and it was so fucking cool, no frills, and I loved it. And then I moved to like Brooklyn, and I just. Fucking used it. I was like, it stayed at my mom's house. It was like, shit. And now I'm like a broke actor and I'm like collecting unemployment. I'm like, sell my car to like a guy from the UCB for like fucking $6,000 or whatever. And I'm like, all right, now I got a year's worth of rent right here. You know, it's like, let's start fucking around with this money now. Yeah. but a Cherokee would be a nice car to get again, but I would want like, electric, lifted, you know.
Right.
I want to be able to put a little air mattress in the back there.
I love those nice boxy Cherokees. I think that's a very good looking car.
Yeah. We were kind of shitting on the Land Rover and the Range Rover earlier, but the Land Rover Defender, like their 90s version, and like,
oh, I'm not familiar.
That's the one that looks like a safari vehicle, that looks like, you know, okay. It doesn't look like it, you're supposed to really have it on the road. And it's just a fucking gorgeous, gorgeous car. And I would like something like that potentially too. Like, I like the old rugged, like Wrangler adjacent sort of like, this doesn't, everything got a little sleek for a while in the 2000s. I miss like the
kind of weirdly round edges that.
Yes. Yes. That you don't love in an SUV. I want like, I love the fucking Woody, and even the knockoff Woody, the Grand Wagoneer or whatever that was. Like, I wanted that shit for so bad.
Those are beautiful cars.
Beautiful cars. Oh man. What a macho conversation we're having.
I've come for your straight listeners.
Yeah, they're all yours. Go with, you know, via con Dios, via con Bridger. Head over to I Said No Gifts, straighties. You're going to love it. Straighties. Totally awesome straighties. Well, Bridger, this has been, I'm glad to know your height so that I can like eyeball you from a distance. Now I could be like, that's not Bridger. That person's too tall as I drive around Highland Park. but thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty. This was a fucking blast.
Thank
You're
you
so
for
funny.
Having me. What a wonderful time.
Always. Where can some of these, where can my mouth breathing listeners find you and check out what you're doing over there?
I've got the podcast. I Said No Gifts. You can come listen to that. And then, I guess I'm on Instagram.
And
watch the After Party on Apple TV. I don't know when this is coming out, but it's a very fun show, murder mystery with a great cast.
Oh, nice. Yeah. A buddy of mine was a writer-producer on it, Anthony King.
Of course, Anthony King, this mega sweetheart.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, I'm excited. Now I'm even more excited for the After Party.
Yeah, I wrote on that. And later this year, there will be a show called Blockbuster coming out that we're working on right now for Netflix. So,
that's awesome.
Take a peek.
Check it out. And whatever you're listening to High and Mighty on, take your phone out right now, search I Said No Gifts, and subscribe. Maybe get around to listening it, but at least subscribe. At least get some false numbers.
And forget. Yes.
Yeah, like gym membership shit. Set it and forget it, you know? Just let me think you're listening. Let me think I'm swaying the masses from a distance. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. My other podcasts are Action Boys at actionboys.biz with a Z. And every Monday night at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, I'm talking movies on the Spotify Green Room app in a little show called The Movie Buff. Check it out over there. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. in a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now, somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Well, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!